Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our community call. Before we get started, I have a couple announcements to make. In our previous schedule, we had scheduled our graduation session on the 8th of December, which is a Tuesday evening. And this past week, Metatron asked me to change that to make it the Sunday before, which would be the 6th, so that everyone in our community, if they could attend, because this is our final seating of the divine session. Our crucible will continue, but what that looks like at this moment, we don't quite know. The other thing I'd like to say is on the 13th, which is the following Sunday, we have a Gridmaster call, and Andy and Pat will be facilitating that. We have made the decision, because of the situation in the world right now, we felt that even in our 3 months quiet time, that we should continue our Gridmaster call. So we will do that. So we have a volunteer for January. We'll need somebody for February and March, or any month after that that you feel called to volunteer. This is a community call, so it's an open discussion on what has occurred this year and in conference, or anything else you'd like to discuss that is relevant to our teaching. Metatron is with us here now in the collective of the Lords of Light. And he stands in the background for this community call until a question needs to be clarified or answered, and then he will be present for you to ask your questions, because we haven't had a question and answer per se since before the conference. So in this discussion and question and answer, he would like people from our community to comment or answer what they feel they know the answer to that question is. And then if further clarification is needed, he will most certainly be here to clarify. Okay, so whoever would like to start first, just unmute yourself and we will have a discussion.
This is Sharka. I have a question for anyone who would kind of clarify it for me. Sometimes they talk, our teachers talk about light codes or light imprints or light packets or memory codes. And I would like to me, it almost is like the same thing. Can someone clarify which one is which, or what for, what reason or purpose? Like, I think I know those light packets, but what is the difference between memory codes or the imprints? Or is it the same thing? That's my question.
Anybody want to comment on that?
Hello, it's Charlotte. Memory codes will be something that triggers a memory from your soul or another lifetime, or more information about whatever you're that's coming up. So you have this data in you, and all of a sudden a memory code will click on something that you are already holding. The, what was the other one?
Light codes.
Light codes. Light codes, for me, they come in and they kind of ding in my head. And they will trigger not only action for me, it'll come in like, do this. They come in like a message, and it kind of codes me up to take a specific action or to go reread something, go. So those light codes do that for me. They also, some of the codes can come in and you can see, for me, I can feel how they will change some of the function in my light body as the light codes will come in. And I think some of the times it has to do with, you almost have to have a certain light quotient in there, a certain amount of light running, and then these codes will come in and you can do something more with that that you weren't able to do, but you had to have that quotient of light there first before it was going to code up for being able to use it differently.
Mm-hmm. And what would be the difference between that and the imprints? They call it an imprint, like the they call it the blank.
You mean the packets? Did you mean that?
I know about the light packets, kind of. I have an idea about that, but then they called also imprints.
Imprints. Like imprints. Mm-hmm. To me, imprints is more like a geometry print that engages with the information that we're gathering or becomes the template of which we work that, bring that energy through. So that's the way the imprint feels on my body.
Mm-hmm.
To me, an imprint, I can actually draw out, but it's very intricate. Geometry sequence, or almost like looking at some of the sacred geometry things all mixed together, they'll be layered. So that's what the imprints feel like for me when they come in.
So it would be maybe something new we are receiving, like that's not, doesn't come from the memory codes or something, right? Like imprints,
right.
From the elementals gave us those imprints.
Imprints are usually coming from the outside in, where memory codes are activating something you're already holding.
Thank you. Yeah, it made it clear. Thank you.
I think imprints can also be created by certain experiences that you've had. They talk about the distortions. Those are imprints that you've picked up along the way in this lifetime, because before you entered in this lifetime, you very much entered at that soul spirit level. So there was a quality there that gets distorted when you come into a very dense physical environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to pick up those imprints. There is such a thing also, though, as soul imprints. And these things occur from other lifetimes sometimes. Some of them are not distortions, but actually very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is Mark. I would love to have some discussion about the quantum field. Get some other people's opinions as to how I'm having trouble visualizing, I'm having trouble getting my feeling for just exactly what the quantum field is. So I appreciate any help there.
For my understanding, quantum field, it's a field of all possibilities where it's it's intelligence of love. And in order to tune in that, we have to put our intention. Like, for example, you're aware of your arm when you think about that. When you don't think about that and you don't use your arm, you don't know that it exists. You just know this exists in that. So you have to in tune to feel it. And during the meditation, you just try to tune in this blackness. It takes practice. And when it takes time, you started to feel it. For example, I already know when it started to be dancing of the colors. Usually it's an indigo, violet color. I know I am close there. And you even put more intention into that. And when you put more intention, you get closer to that. And after that, it just, you feel it. You feel it. It could be like a buzzing in your body. You could feel some, it's different anytime. But now you know that it exists. And now you know there is unlimited possibilities. If you have a pure intention and positive emotion or some dream that you want to be in the future, how it is, you just share it with this alive, loving intelligence. And it fills you. It fills you all of the time. So when you're in a harmony with that, so that way you could get what you want, manifestation or feeling of absolute love surround you, or feeling or just like a presence. But it's a practice to go there. I started with just blackness, and I focus on the blackness and what it is. I want to feel you. I want to hear you. I want to see you. I want to just whatever you put in it. But this is my impression, and probably everyone has a different one.
Thank you, Vera.
Blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. For me, at this point, seeing in color is far and few in between. For a lack of a better word, there's a type of texture in the darkness. And I'm able to differentiate whether that darkness, when I close my eyes, is something very shallow and narrow, as opposed to something that is much more open-ended. And from my feeling now, entering into that quantum consciousness, the darkness space is far wider, and there's depth to it, and there is a stillness to it. And the moments, and I have to say moments, that I'm able to have that consciousness, truly, for me, there is no thought. There is absolutely nothing. Now, if I go in previously with an intention, but don't carry that intention and just go in, I would have to say that once I leave that, at some point, and it may not be immediate, a thought will come to me. And it will be the next step for my intention. So it may not happen right away, maybe a couple of days or a couple of hours, however. But a thought will come to me, or a next step will come to me. And that at this point, at this present time point, that's how I experience that quantum field.
Can anyone clarify the difference between the quantum field and the void?
For me, it is the same. I could actually even think about like a huge ocean or the starry night. For me, it's the same feeling. And thank you, Diana, for sharing. Yes, I agree that it is sometimes you even feel the quality like a netting, but very fluid. It's alive. You just feel alive, but no matter, no something solid or dense, but you feel it. And sometimes like a colors, you could see it. So that's what it is for me.
From my perspective, it's a massive creative field of the all that is, that has multiple dimensions and no dimension at all. So you can equate it with the all that is. It is a creative realm of infinite possibilities and infinite information. So it's something that you have to experience. You can't rationalize it, or it's very difficult to voice in a limited third dimensional languaging. You have to experience it, but it's just this massive, fertile, unlimited void of creative energy.
So it's our ability to function within that massive creative creativeness. It's just a hugeness. Is that it?
Right. Has all dimensions, all universes. It's the all that is. It's the creativeness of all that is. And of course, the more light that you hold and that you can expand your unified field, the experience will be different.
Yes, I'm seeing a difference between my unified field and the quantum field.
Right, exactly.
It's like a great big field ready to be planted with all kinds of thoughts and memories and hopes and dreams and wishes that is just out there waiting to be snatched up and used for our higher good.
Right. Or to draw a consciousness or information that you hadn't been able to remember. But that takes having in place a unified field, a certain frequency of light. And I'm sure that our teachers will be directing us in that way. And if you remember in our last teaching session, they talked about the rays of creation and how that there is really only one massive source ray of creation, and all others are within it. It's the same thing with the light templates, the light packets. There's one massive light packet that activates and helps restore our DNA in our physicality so that we can process a greater complexity of thought. So we're just now beginning to have access to that, where you have to just give yourself time to integrate and to experience it. I like what Deanna said, in that she said, you know, there's just silence. And then all of a sudden, when she comes out of meditation, a thought or something will occur to her that hadn't occurred before. So she is able to, you know, within that field, there are holographic projections. So after she had entered and stayed in that field for a while, thoughts would occur to her, or states of consciousness that she wasn't aware of. These are the things that happen when you access that quantum field. And the more that you do, and the more teachings we have around these things, the more expansive it becomes.
I'm sorry that you guys cannot see the full part, but my background is exactly what came to me after. And I have to say, it's not a bit, I spend a half hour or 45 minutes in this field. I have to say, if I can make it to 2 minutes, I'm good. But after a session, after a meditation session, and I felt that texture, that feeling, shortly afterwards, my background came into mind, and it's not the fullness of it. You don't see the full piece, but it just came to me. There are 12 arrows with the 12 rays, and when you take the sacred name and you keep the full four letters, that's what you get. And you get the different configurations. And so this whole thing just kind of, I mean, it was instant. It was a complete picture. I just had to put it together. So to me, that is a reference point as to how I interact with that quantum field. So as much as I try to stay there, I don't stay there for long, but I just have this feeling like there's some, it's very powerful. Not too many words to describe it.
Anna, I have a question for you. When you're in that field, you think you're only there for 1 or 2 minutes. Maybe you're there a whole lot longer, and it's just this third dimension or fourth dimension time sequence that you're looking at, rather than that you might be out there for 20 minutes.
Well, that could be true, because, you know, the full meditation is not when I'm all there. So the part of my meditation where I am there, it could be a lot longer. You know, sometimes I don't know. I don't really think it's important. I don't even know why I mentioned it, but you could be absolutely right. I have no idea.
Thank you all for your comments. This is helping me. I expect we'll get a lot more of this in the future.
Quantum field.
I have a question or maybe clarification. When we were led by Yeshua Magdalene through the void and the series that we went through in that, I thought, but maybe I didn't get it right because I was focused on it and not taking immediate notes, but wasn't there something in there about the womb, the cosmic womb, where our soul was birthed? And was that part of the series we went through in the void, or was that part of the quantum field? Because when I've gone to the quantum field, and I'll kind of, I can only stay there a few seconds or a moment. When I've come back out, there's this thing that I'm hearing about the womb. And I'm trying to clarify that for me and what that might mean for me. But that's been coming up a lot in my thoughts and once in my dream about the womb.
Anybody have a comment on that, or would you like to hear from Metatron?
It would be nice to hear from Metatron or anyone else in the group, but I'd like more clarification on that, please.
Okay. Before I bring him through, does anybody have a comment? I'll wait a minute or so. It is I, Metatron. I would like to congratulate you on this community call and on the discussion that has taken place thus far. You have taken full advantage of this session by voicing your experiences and commenting on one another. Each other's questions, which is very helpful when it comes from the group rather than one of we teachers. But in this regard, I would like to clarify the cosmic womb. You can also associate that with the void of the all that is. At the moment, your soul was created. It was created in that cosmic womb that is eternally fertile ground for unending experience in various realms, whether they be in form or non-form. It's important for you to recognize it is the same for your spirit. Now let me clarify. There is a difference between the soul and the spirit. The spirit is who you are. The moment you were created by the source of all that is. This creation is more of a collective creation. It has a collective consciousness. It is made or was created in the image of the all that is. It is a vast collective consciousness. So you as spirit are part of and one with the all that is. When that particular iteration of source desired to experiment in the various realms and the various realms of creation, the quantum field being a part of that massive creative force. And you as an individual, part of that source, wanted to have that experience in a more physical expression. Thus, your spirit created a soul to afford you that opportunity. So there are many types of and pieces and parts of the, of souls that your massive collective spirit can create for various reasons and purposes. So when Yeshua and Miriam the Magdalene led you into this cosmic womb, it was for a specific purpose, and that purpose was to recover not your original blueprint of your soul, but your prime directive, the moment that massive collective spirit of you was created, that prime directive that was given to that particular massive spirit, the collective consciousness that is always in complete unity with the all that is. So does that help clarify some of that confusion?
It certainly does. Thank you very much, Metatron.
It's very difficult in third dimensional languaging, and even in the denseness of the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions, to begin to speak of things of the source of all that is, especially of your of spirit. There are various spirits that are have multiple expressions of the all that is in specific collective consciousness. So it's very difficult for you operating in the denseness of dimensions, especially in matter, in the type of matter that you exist in a body that is so limiting. The neurology has come far since you have begun these teachings, but it still is very limited in processing that type of thought. But I think that you have a basic understanding of the massiveness of the all that is and the massiveness of part of that all that is that you know as the quantum field that has many, many universes, and within those universes are many galaxies, many star systems, many solar systems. It is a massive creative field. Some of it has form, some of it has matter, and some of it does not. But all of these universes, all of these fields of energy within the quantum field are composed of energetic consciousness that each one is within the other. So it's just one massive, it is kind of like your unified field. When you work with the triadic system, how those triads fold all together into one unified field. It is so within this quantum field. So with that, dear ones, I will let you continue with your discussion.
Thank you.
Metatron, I would like to ask a question, please. And going back to Sharka's question about, well, she mentioned the imprints and the light packets and the memory codes and the light codes, but there's one more, the holographic codes, holographic
imprints. Projections. Holographic projections.
Yes. The only... idea I have of holographic projections is what I see on Star Trek in the holodeck. And I don't think it's exactly like that. And I wonder if you'd be willing to explain that a little more.
Well, holographic projections are used within the quantum field and they hold, it's a vast, these are huge projections, creative projections. And each one holds massive amounts of information. And even the smallest particle of that holograph that gets delivered and embodied in a denser realm, such as the physical realm that you now find yourself in, has the, it has every part of the massive whole. So you may perceive it now as many different projections of thought and information, but in reality, just as within this quantum field, that is one massive unified consciousness. So these holographic projections are used to stimulate knowledge and awareness, not from the rational mind, but from that vaster whole of the all that is. So that eventually, as you absorb it, and you learn the various pieces and parts, the particles or the waves of light. A particle is different than a wave, but yet they function very similar and they carry information. How much of that you're able to absorb and know depends on the amount of frequencies of light that you carry, the condition of your light body, and the ability of your neurological system, your brain, to function such massive amounts of information. So it's given to you in your perception, small increments of these projections that carry all of it, but you can use what you are able to use in minute pieces and parts that still carry the imprints or the all of it, that as you grow in your consciousness, as you your light body becomes more massive, then you draw more from those holographic projections because they carry all of it.
So could you maybe explain like what kind of information, like what I'm kind of hearing is like maybe it's an entire concept, like holographic projection on how to create with the element of love or how to ascend into a light body or something like that.
Right. All of that. Yes. There are various massive informative in this instance with this group. It is all about creating a more massive state of consciousness that not only draws pieces and parts from these holographic projections on how to use the light body, how to add the element of love with precision to your creations. So it is dependent on your ability to grow your consciousness, which at a spirit level is massive, but is so limited in the human form, in the denseness of the dimensions that you are now able to navigate in. So our suggestion is don't worry about such things. You have done well. In the last 5 years, you have absorbed a massive amount of information from those holographic projections when we first introduced you to them. If you will think back about when holographic projections were first mentioned to you and that all of the information and the energetics required to use that information would be brought to you in holographic projections. And think about all the teachings and all the applications of those teachings that you have been able to integrate and use. And you've just begun.
Okay. So this is going to become more how our mode of communication is going to evolve with each other in the future?
Of course.
Okay.
And it also, it's part of this experience that you are just now beginning to have of this quantum field, because these projections are just informational files, if you will, envelopes of more to come. And it's given to you in these small increments so that you can make them usable in the dense reality of the human form and the earth itself. And what you are doing is you are then helping those who come after you to have a much more expansive experience of this realm because you have traveled through it and used certain parts of those holographs. And so when they go to the quantum field, they access those holographs through the experience that you've already had. And they don't have to go back to square one. It's there. You do this, this, and this. And that's why these young children that you are seeing are so quick with computers and technology, because those who came before drew that from those holographs, from the quantum field, and used it so that the use of it is imprinted through you.
Okay. I understand. I feel like I've been doing this for a while because somebody starts to talk about something and I get it, and they want to sit there and explain it to me in detail, and I'm like, no, stop. I get it.
Yeah,
I don't want to listen to all those words.
Exactly.
Know?
Yes. And that's why your educational system is in such turmoil right now, because these children want to say the same thing. Stop. I get it. Let's do something else.
I see.
So you are providing a pathway in that quantum field in the in denser realities for those realities to be changed instantaneously as they are accessed. And that is why it is so important to continue these Gridmaster calls, because you can project into that quantum field the element of love and the usability of that, as well as these light templates that you have learned about, and establish an equilibrium within the quantum field, within those holographic projections, that others can, the things that you've had to struggle with for 5 years, they get in an instant. This is the service that you are providing for humanity, for the world, for the earth.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
So I have a question based on that.
Yes.
And so you said we project into the quantum field. I thought it was the other way around. It's like, you know, it's this vast ocean and there's a lot of movement and then there's nothingness. And that it comes to us, but it sounded more like a reversal of that, a projection.
You contribute to it. Now, that means you can, and this is one thing why we did not bring this to you before recent times, because you can contribute distortion, chaos, war, which you have been doing, because the contribution comes from your state of consciousness. So now you are more capable of being, it doesn't mean that you won't ever err from your distortion that you might still use unconsciously, but you do you are part of that quantum field. This is part of unity consciousness. This is part of you being spirit, part of all that is. So you contribute as well as draw from.
Okay. And can I ask how this is affecting and participating, I'll say galactically or universally?
Yes. You know that there is a galaxy in close proximity to the Milky Way galaxy, which is the one that you navigate in right now in this physical form. So that galaxy has been contributing through the quantum field to the Milky Way galaxy, because they hold pieces and parts of information that the Milky Way galaxy and this sector of the universe, the fallen sector, needs desperately. So there are parts of the world that need you and your consciousness and your contribution.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you get your imagination, that fertile curiosity of yours, around what I am trying to convey to you? about the massiveness of who you are at a spirit level and how that communication is now taking place within you between your soul and your spirit, and how you have access to the quantum field. You're just learning about that. These are baby steps. You are toddlers in a room full of obstacles and learning to walk through the obstacles and denseness of the world and of the body and navigate into a beautiful field of unlimited potential. So I'm going to step back and I'm going to ask that if there's any other discussion that you please bring that forth and discuss it amongst yourselves first. This is what community calls are. They're exchanging ideas, thoughts, information. This is Joan. Does anybody else have any comment they would like to make?
I have a question. Is there are still forces try to interfere in our walk, what we are trying to do, and the other light walkers?
Anybody want to comment on that?
I'd just like to say one thing. That is, we are in a very polarized world. We know that. We're in this duality. And all is possible in that. But I think, at least the way I see it, our particular calling is to hold the light and to hold ourselves, not get too carried away with what the other forces might be doing. There's just so much conjecture right now in the world, and it's a distraction. So just keeping on with what our teachings are, holding ourselves in the blueprint that we see ourselves is, I think, what we're called to do. And as Metatron said, this is what some of the very first groups that we're doing, we're forging away, but we have to just continually hold that anchor of where we really want to be and not be too to be discerning and not get too involved in what might be happening around us otherwise. That's sort of how I see it.
Oh, I completely agree with what you say, and I feel that. But my question more about, is it enough what we are doing to kind of improve what is going around right now?
Well, Metatron just told us, yeah, we can do anything. We just have to hold, we really have to hold how we see things very clearly. But in love, I mean, clearly, this is, we have to be, you know, I try to be as open-minded as I can to strange things that happen around me, but just hold that love. I think that's kind of what we're called to do now.
What's coming to me is that we were at a stage where we were all very wobbly and we could have been thrown very easily, but the point we're at now, this stage, with the amount of light we're holding, we're not as easily thrown at all. That I remember a friend a long time ago said, the brighter you shine, the more they know where to find you. Well, now they're going like this, you know, and staying away. And I think we're good. We're safe.
I think it's really important to keep in mind that we have a multitude of resources to hold that light and that love that we are. And that is our choice. What do you choose? How do you choose to react to the outside influences that are happening worldwide now? Do you choose to get into that, oh, ain't it awful? And I have no control. I'm a victim of this. Or do you choose to hold the light and love that you are in the highest state of your divinity and let the other go? Because there's so much of that that you have no control over. The only thing you have control over is you and your choice. And I think that's the comment you made, Anne, is wonderful. The light that you carry right now. And they've told us that.
Yes, thank you. Completely agree. And I'm glad that I am steady in light, no matter what.
You know, I'd like to chip in on that. You know, some of the meditations we've done and Gridmaster's calls are a good example. Some of the things we've done on Sunday night where we're transmitting the love and the unity consciousness. And we've done it so powerfully that and it's not just me, we feel the vibration of the earth shift under our feet. I mean, it's really, really, you know, substantial. It's noticeable. And that's powerful. I mean, we're doing that, you know, and so the other part of that is that I'm really, really, really working hard to, you know, master my emotions and learn how to stay in neutral and fifth dimensional, because I'm realizing just how powerful I am. And if I get, you know, angry and start projecting that out there, I know, wow, it's really powerful. I don't want that going out there. You know, I understand. And then actually that sort of brings me into another topic we might want to discuss. And, you know, and that's like staying out of the monkey mind, the small mind, whatever you want to call it. And Kathleen McGarry is one that kind of suggested this. I'm starting to project, you know, keep my focus up in the about the third triad in the higher mind and even in the fourth triad, and trying to keep, you know, when I keep my mind, my focus up there and operate there, I'm trying to operate from that consciousness, then that, if I can stay there, that quiets my ego. And I stay out of all the fear and the stuff and the crap that's going on in my body and in my mind and it's stored there. And I'm just wondering, and so it's helping me to stay in that higher dimension is basically what I'm saying. So so I'd like maybe to start a, see if anybody has any comments on how they do that, stay in the higher dimensional consciousness.
Yeah, it's Kathy. So I've been working a lot with the elementals in staying in those high vibrational, you know, if, for example, with the wind, overcoming obstacles or feeling the nurturing and the sustenance from the water and the stability and the groundedness, like bringing that into a feeling. If you were feeling a little wobbly, you know, like, oh, how am I going to overcome this? It's like, okay, come on, wind, let's work with me. And it's immediate. It's in the body, and I feel that it's that connection of source through me, and then it's through all of the elemental world. And yet it was the elemental world, because that's who I am. So it's pretty cool.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. Thanks.
We are continually reminded that we are all one with the Ascended Masters, the beings of light in our crucible, in our collective. And my thoughts and where I radiate is if something comes at me, I know I have all of that at my disposal. And that all I have to do is shift my attention point and it disappears. It vanishes because we are all one and we all have each other's backs, so to speak. And so I don't feel there's any force out there that can derail us or stop us because we hold the light, we hold the truth, and most of all, we hold the love.
This is Colleen. One of the things I really enjoy doing, I go back to the basics. And the basic for me is bringing in that blue coating and filling my home with calmness and love and light and peace and tranquility and all the things that help me get through my day. And my home feels different. I don't like leaving my home. I like it here. I don't look at it being in isolation or being in lockdown. This is a beautiful space to be. And this is my safety. This is my cushion, you know. So using that blue coating and the yellow coating and the green coating and the magenta coating, and just filling my space with that. And it helps a lot.
Hello, this is Charlotte. What I find is going back to those basics. Sometimes we forget to collect ourselves up. Sometimes we forget to take attention points off of us. And sometimes we just forget to change our grounding code. So in order to hold those higher things, anything you're doing when you're shifting things, even if it's my own creation in the kitchen right now that I've got all over the place because I'm making pies, then cleaning up that and putting that all away. And then again, collect yourself up from what you did, because then that makes it easier for me to hold the higher energy. And I like playing with the crystals, the unicorns and the dragons. And so I have some stuffed animals that live with me. We just had a few more move in, and just walking in the room and seeing a unicorn, and I could probably bring one to the screen that's as big as a Saint Bernard, puts a smile on my face, and that helps hold and shift that happy, playful energy in my world.
This is Sharka. I would like to say something too, that I agree with Corinne and with Charlotte, that I'm also satisfied being in isolation at home. And from that, I know that I'm shining my light, because before I would never be satisfied by kind of just in one place, not doing or creating something. I know I'm creating a lot by shining my light, and that satisfies me. So I'm very grateful for being in this class and being taught to do that and participate this way, helping Yeshua to save humanity and earth. That's a lot for me.
Well, everyone, this has been a wonderful community call. I think it has had depth and breadth that was so needed right now. And I agree with Charlotte and everyone that spoke the importance of creating an environment that promotes your light and your creativeness. So at this point, I think we should close our conversation. I will see you in a couple of weeks for our graduation ceremony. So thank you all for those that have joined us and contributed to this conversation. For all of those who are in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. And we will gather again very soon. So thank you all. Blessings.
Thank you, everybody, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Blessings. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy Gobble Gobble Day.
Happy nap day.
Yeah. Kind of hate to leave, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Well, good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.